Hi, I'm John Chu, a program manager at Visual Studio, working on tools that empower developers to create awesome games and experiences.
Hi, I'm Natalie Golovornis. I'm a program manager on Microsoft's developer experience team. So I work with developers to help them bring cool and fresh games and apps to Windows 10 and using Microsoft technologies.
So we're here at the Game Developers Conference talking to Unity developers about the games that they've been making and how using Visual Studio and the Visual Studio tools for Unity has empowered them to create awesome experiences.
Yeah, I've seen that there's a ton of games here at the Unity booth and also at the Xbox Lounge.
So yeah, let's go check it out. So we're here with Brian Cannon from Oxenfree. First of all, congratulations on your IGF award.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Oxenfree.
Oxenfree is kind of a mashup between Telltale-like choose your own adventure game and something like Sword and Sorcery that's kind of side-scrolling.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of inspiration from The Goonies and Stand By Me, movies set in the Pacific Northwest. And it's about a group of teens who go to this island to stay the night, party on the beach, and they walk into a cave, open a portal to hell, and now they have to get off the island before whatever beings on the other side consume them.
Very cool. So I guess you say that it was inspired by a lot of those Pacific Northwest movies, like The Goonies and such. So is that what else inspired the creation of this game?
I don't know. A lot of games like Sword and Sorcery, I'd say, inspired us a lot, just in terms of how they do atmosphere. And just kind of any story-based, like all the Telltale games were great big inspirations because we're huge fans of story, and we wanted to take the branching narrative structure to the next level and allow you to move around, interact with things, and have an impact on the story.
How long have you been working on it, and what was like that development journey like?
It was about a year and a half of development time. There were six of us on the team, plus a bunch of contractors like Scientific. He did all the music. He's really great. Sorry, what was the second question?
Any memorable development moments?
Good or bad. Man. There were a lot of late nights, a lot of staying up until 3 a.m, just testing the game, trying to get good builds out. It's a really time-consuming process. For me, just making little tweaks and having to, test the entire game, make sure that works, and keeping that consistent across 4 different platforms actually. That was probably the biggest.
So tell us a little bit about how you used Unity and leveraged Unity and Visual Studio in the creation of this game.
Yeah, so, Unity is really great. I've used it for probably 7 or 8 years since like version 2.6. And it's very extensible. We built a number of tools, custom tools on top of Unity, including a Kismet-like visual scripting system localization, like a dialogue localization tool, a nav mesh tool. And Visual Studio is great because it's an established IDE. We mostly use the IDE and the debugger. And the IDE is just really, it works, it's clean, it's a step above some other IDEs that a lot of Unity devs use. And it's a pleasure to use. So I'm really glad that it integrates with Unity so well.
So yeah, I noticed when playing your game that there was a lot of really interesting systems, like the dialogue system with the branching dialogue and how you interrupt people's speeches while talking, and also just how you achieve that painterly look to the game, as well as being able to like leverage having 3D and traversal and such.
Yeah.
So what were some of like the biggest technical challenges that you faced, or what's the worst bug that you faced in making this, and how did you overcome it?
First of all, the biggest challenge was probably getting that 2D and 3D working, because they're all hand-painted backgrounds done by Heather Gross, and all the characters move are actually like way out in front of that background, moving in 3D space. So if they go upstairs, they go off into the background, they actually move at a constant speed. They're not just moving up. So that's all simulated, and we had to create a custom nav mesh solution for that, because we didn't want to have to go with Unity's, just because we would have to maintain a mesh to put over that, every time we change the art, we have to change the mesh, and then rebake the nav mesh. And here we just have to move some stuff around some nodes around in the scene. But worst bug was probably something that kept coming back, where she would climb up a wall, and she'd just teleport to the top, and then she'd just be climbing forever in the one spot.
Yeah.
There are probably plenty more that I can go on forever.
Must have been something weird to see while trying to play test that. So, initially, with Visual Studio, what's your favorite feature with using Visual Studio?
Or any tips and tricks that you want to share with?
Tips and tricks. The debugger works really well. It's really seamless. So that's probably my favorite feature. I don't know. Tips and tricks. That's hard. I have to think about that for a while. So, I don't know. Cool. Sorry.
What would be your parting advice for starting game developers?
Just make a lot of games. How many have you made? I don't know. Somewhere between like 15 and 20, small games to games like this. It doesn't matter who you are, just start now. And start as early as you can. Learn to do it yourself. Learn to program.
So where can we check out OxenFree?
It's on Steam for PC and Mac. It's on Windows 10. And it's on Xbox One.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time today.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hi. We're here with John McLaughlin from Soma Games. Really cool booth you have.
Thanks.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your game and this whole setup that you have.
The idea of this is that we have a game called G-Prime, and so this is actually a physical representation of the main menu of our game. So when you're playing the game on the Xbox One or on the Mac and PC on the Humble Store, this is the screen you'll see when you're playing the game from the main menu.
Oh, very cool. I heard that paint actually smells like cinnamon.
Actually, it smells like cinnamon because it is cinnamon. And so all the bolts on it are actually hot glue done into a mold, and then all the rust is straight up cinnamon.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what was sort of your inspiration behind this, and how long have you been working on it?
So G-Prime was a remake of our original game, G, and that was an iOS game, and we were like, let's make video games, so let's make a gravity puzzler for iOS. And we did Objective-C, and that one was straight up pure Objective-C with C++ and ANSI-C when we were doing OpenFaint and OpenGL-ES.
Okay.
So we wanted to change that, make it into 2.5D with 3D assets so it was more interesting. We increased the frame rate from 30 to 60 to make it more of an arcade feel. And with that, we have G-Prime, and we're really happy with it, and we're happy that it got released. So
very cool. How long have you been working on it? What was your development journey like? Any moments stand out to you?
So our first 8 months with G, half of that was figuring out how to make floating point numbers work across devices. So we had a Flash level builder, and in OpenGL-ES we had the same information, but because we step a lot, floating points just got off.
Yeah.
And so actually that was one of the big parts of trying to figure out how to make Flash and those line up. And so basically we have a constant k floats or lane, and that makes it so all our data is actually in integer form, and we divide by that number to make it a floating point.
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting.
It's a really elegant solution for kind of working across all these different platforms.
Yeah. And it was really nice because when we went to G Prime, it just worked. We just transferred the code, put it into C#, and everything worked flawlessly, and so we were really happy with that.
Awesome. What was like your experience using Unity and Visual Studio?
I've been really happy with it. You know, we lived in the mono world for a long time until we got a full version of Visual Studio Professional. And with that, having breakpoints and the ability to stop live code in Unity to see what's going on and then step through the operation has been really helpful for debugging and finding where the errors are happening.
Do you remember what your toughest bug was?
Man. With G Prime, probably the toughest bug we've been doing is performance issues related to non-asynchronous transfer of data to the internet. And so we had to switch all that to asynchronous so that we didn't have any weird hiccups when levels ended and things like that.
Okay.
So how were you able to leverage Visual Studio in kind of debugging and stuff?
Very much so.
With asynchronous calls and whatnot?
Yeah, and so it was one of those that we had this weird, at the end of the level, it would just stop. And we're like, well, what's that doing? And finally we found out, it's like, oh, it's because it's waiting for our URL call to come back. And that was all straight up Visual Studio and debugging, doing a line-by-line go through.
Cool. So talking about Visual Studio, what's your favorite feature with using it?
Like, I love that I can access my whole project, Unity, the same way it looks like in Unity, back and forth,
yeah.
Which makes it really easy to have our project files set up in a certain way that we understand where the files should be, so I can just go directly to them. There's a lot of times with Mono, because of how they spit out the information, you're like, hey, this isn't what I want. And so I would always have to go back to Unity to then select the script file that I want to edit.
Okay, cool.
So any tips for game development? What's your number one tip for game developers out there?
Always know where your memory is living.
Great. Cool. Where can we find your game?
So G Prime can be found on the Humble Store for both Mac and PC worldwide. And then it's also on the Xbox One in US and Canada. And we finally have our PEGI certificate. And so we're going to be in Europe soon.
That's so exciting.
Great. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're here with Mike Corsaro from Monothetic. Tell us a little bit about your game, Beacon.
Yeah, so Beacon is a sci-fi action roguelike. The sort of plot of the story is you've crash landed on a planet and you're trying to, the only thing that has survived is the clone bay and your gun. So along the way you're sort of collecting DNA and you use that DNA to reconstitute your stats on the next run when you die. You can then use the DNA then, you have a chance to get mutations, and then those mutations will sort of change the way you play on your next run.
Oh, very cool. What was like the inspiration behind that idea?
So we're a huge fan of roguelikes, so we like games that are challenging, and we've already been making our own games. We wanted to do something more realistic in terms of like what we could do. So we came up with the idea for about 2 years ago and decided it'd be a pretty good idea.
And oh, cool.
So it's inspired by a lot of our favorite games.
Oh, nice.
So what are some of your favorite games for this?
Yeah, So I'm like a huge fan of the Metroid series, huge fan of Binding of Isaac, so you can sort of see those influences in the game in terms of like the environment and sort of the way we tell stories and things like that.
Cool. How long have you been working on it and what was the development journey like?
Yeah, so we've been working on this game for about 2 years now. It's been, we've all been working on it in our sort of spare time.
Okay.
Our team's about 5 people and we're multinational, so even though we're based in San Francisco, we have people working in the UK and
oh,
in
wow.
Thailand too.
Any interesting or funny stories that happened during development?
No, I mean, occasionally the sort of weird bug we've encountered, like things floating off into the air or just weird things happening to the player flying through the air and stuff like that. But
okay.
Yeah.
How did you use Visual Studio and be able to figure out how to solve that bug?
Yeah, so Visual Studio, one of my favorite things about Visual Studio is the Unity plugin. So we have the ability to sort of attach the debugger to Unity,
yeah.
Which allows us to set breakpoints and spec data as it's going through, which is like incredible because I don't have to like open up another tool. It's all there, it's fast, and so it works really well.
Oh, cool.
So, in using Visual Studio, like what's besides the plugin, what's one of your interesting features or like that you like using with Visual Studio?
Yeah, so I'm a huge Visual Studio guy. I've been using it for probably my entire professional life at this point. My favorite things about it are how fast it is. It's really quick, and the debugging tools are also great. And being able to sort of step through and see how performance goes is also, you know, that's really important as well. And sort of how well everything meshes together, and just it's so fast and responsive, and I can see all my data, and it works really well.
Great. So you mentioned facing the bugs, like things floating out in the air. What are some of the other big technical challenges that you faced when making this game?
Yeah. So doing shaders is really difficult because it's really difficult to know like what the shader looks like at a certain point in time during its sort of rendering process. So like, you know, shaders typically go through multiple steps, and if something looks weird and you're not sure why it looks weird, it can be really difficult to know what's going on, you know, on your graphics card, like what data is actually being sent and what it's supposed to actually look like. So that was really challenging.
That's tough. So any advice for game developers that one day hope to have their game showcased at GDC?
Yeah, I mean, just keep doing it, like, right? So we've been working on this part-time, and here we are now. I mean, we have full-time jobs, and it's just been sort of something we were really passionate about. And I think that goes a long way in sort of getting to where you want to go.
Cool.
And definitely the passion shows when looking at the game.
Yeah.
Where can we find your game?
Well, you'll be able to find it in about a year. Hopefully, we'll be on, we're aiming Windows, Mac, Xbox One, and any distribution channels.
Can't wait.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we're here with the Chambara team with Zach and Andre, here to talk about their game. So tell us a little bit about Chambara.
Sure. So Chambara, as you may or may not be able to see behind us, is a multiplayer, competitive, stealth action, first-person melee game. So that's definitely a mouthful, but the basic idea is your player is entirely one color or another, and you are able to blend in with the environment that matches your player's color completely. Because you and the background are the exact same color.
So tell us a little bit about how you were inspired. This is such a very interesting game concept in like playing around with colors. So where did the inspiration for this come from?
Sure. So I only joined the team about a year ago, but I know the history of the project. And it was inspired by an episode of Samurai Jack. So there's a scene, I can't remember like which season or anything like that, but Jack is dressed in a completely white robe and he's battling against this black ninja. And so the different parts of the stage are separated in black and white. And so if you check out that episode, it's clear to see the inspiration for Chambara.
That's cool. I'll have to look for that episode.
Yeah.
So how long have you been, how long has this been in development for?
Sure. So it started back in, I guess the original conception came about in January of 2014. It was developed over the course of 8 weeks in the summer of 2014 at a competition called Dare to be Digital in Dundee, Scotland. And after that, the project picked up a little bit of momentum. We've been able to develop it throughout this year for our student game capstone project.
Yeah, the team size really grew in August when it became a capstone project. Before then, it was only like 4 or 5 people, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
Great, and the effort shows you're nominated for an IGF, so congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
awesome.
You, thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your development experience with this? Any interesting or funny stories that happened during development?
I guess interesting is we tried to put networked play into the game last semester, even though it started as local only and that was kind of its home. We tried to put networked play in, it was something that was really like suggested at the exhibitions we were going to. And we learned quickly that we'd bitten off way more than we could chew. So we ended up canning that in the fall and sticking to focusing on a solid, polished, local-only experience.
Yeah.
So how have you been able to leverage Visual Studio when working with Unity and the Visual Studio Tools for Unity plugin in creating the game?
I absolutely love using Visual Studio with Unity. The plugin is just very, very smooth. It attaches to Unity very smoothly. We've been doing some console development, and it works very smooth with that, too. So I also like all the plugins that Visual Studio offers. For instance, we use Perforce as our versioning tool, and there's a very, very nice Perforce plugin to help leverage that. So.
Great. So what were some of the biggest technical challenges or the worst bug that you faced when building this?
Oh, goodness.
Let's see.
Hardest bug?
There are many bugs. I mean, there still are probably. Maybe the biggest challenges we actually faced, we're developing the game for console. You can check it out at Xbox One here. And we honestly had a hard time connecting to the development kits. So the hardest technical challenges I think we faced were our IT challenges, not really development challenges. So we're kind of this pioneering effort at USC to do commercial publishing for games. And so we've had to kind of break down a lot of barriers since it hasn't been done before at the school. Andre's been instrumental in solving a lot of those problems.
Yeah, we've also had a lot of, optimization challenges that we've been facing because none of us have ever really had to like polish a game to the point where it has to be released. So like getting to the point where the game is very, very well optimized and constantly runs at 60 frames has been kind of a roller coaster.
Yeah. So with those performance optimizations, have you been using anything with Visual Studio and such for that?
Oh yeah. The debugging is very, very nice. I think there's also a profiler.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a profiler that directly hooks into Visual Studio, but the debugging features of Visual Studio are definitely like my favorite part and why I switched over from MonoDevelop to Visual Studio.
Yeah.
So,
do you guys have any like tips and tricks that you kind of learned along the way that you want to share with other people getting started with Visual Studio?
Oh goodness. The movement shortcuts, like learn the shortcuts to switch between like between files and going back to where you were, and it just makes everything so much quicker. And that's also one of the reasons. Yeah, control comma, control minus, like those are beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful.
Great. So what do you have any, like, what's your number one tip for developers in general?
How can they be here next year?
Yeah, well, you gotta just make the game. So whatever like you feel inspired by, and you have some friends, or even if it's just you, just do it.
Do what you're passionate about. Do what you're passionate about, and it'll show.
Great. So where can we find Chambara?
So right now you can't actually purchase it anywhere, but it will be available this year, 2016, for download on Xbox One and perhaps other consoles. And then after that, look for it on Steam.
Great. So thanks for talking to us.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Wow, those games were awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool that you can get Visual Studio Community for free when you install Unity.
Yeah, with free tools and all that support documentation, there's no reason why you can't be here next year.
See you then.